Michigan lawmakers are trying to craft new strategies to spur job growth, but they're doing it in a little different way. Senator Mallory McMurrow, a Democrat from Royal Oak, chairwoman of the Senate Economic and Community Development Committee, said Democrats want to encourage this growth in the types of jobs that will bring people to Michigan. How are they going to do it? Let's ask Mallory McMurrow this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that a little human?
A little one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Been there. So anyway, good morning. How is your legislation different?
So our legislation is different than what we've seen in the state's largest economic development tool, the SOAR Fund, because it is no longer exclusively giving incentives and site development money directly to companies. We have reallocated 50% of the overall dollars that we allocate to SOAR, that's up to $250 million, back into community investments for things like transit, childcare, housing, that are designed to spur economic development by supporting people in those communities.
So the idea is people will want to work here if those types of things are around?
Exactly. And we've seen this work in other states. So economic development has transformed a lot over the last few decades. And if you remember Amazon HQ2 here in Michigan, we were set to give Amazon $4 billion in incentives and tax breaks, and we lost. They told us we didn't even crack the top 20 because of a lack of talent and a lack of transit. But Virginia offered them $550 million in incentives paired with more than $1 billion in investments in education from K-12 through a new campus of Virginia Tech, which they won, and with a lower total incentive package than what we offered in Michigan. So there's a limit to incentive, but we're seeing this more holistic approach work in other states.
And Senator, some critics argue that diverting funds from businesses from business incentives could weaken Michigan's ability to compete for major projects nationally. How do you respond to those concerns, and what measures are in place to ensure Michigan remains competitive? I understand Governor Whitmer is expressing some reservations as well about your program.
Look, I think that concern is flat out wrong and is frankly outdated for exactly the reasons that I described with that project. And if our only tool is trying to compete dollar for dollar on who can pay a company more to locate here, Michigan's not going to win. We're never going to have the budget of a state of Texas or a state of New York. So if we can be more nimble and actually give companies the workforce that they need, which is the company's most valuable asset, is their talent, then we're going to be more successful in the long run and also bring in better jobs for Michiganders. One of the major critiques right now of the SOAR program and a lot of our incentives is that a significant amount of the incentives that we give out are for low-wage jobs that are not setting Michiganders up for success.
But so many of the proposals, Senator, that come our way in real time. And first, we learned that with Ford's battery plants that went down to Kentucky and Tennessee. So how does investing in community housing, where there would be a delayed return on that investment, transit, where there's a delayed return on the investment, if it delivers a return at all, because right now our transit systems are unsubscribed, if we're competing for something on a Monday, we can't wait 2 years for those things to bear fruit.
So, Guy, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the reasons that Tennessee and Kentucky won Ford is that they had prepared those sites for 20 years prior to Ford looking around the country at sites. And we were scrambling to catch up last minute. So another part of the fund that we are keeping in place is the site readiness fund so that we can continue to go around the state, prepare some of these sites in a more proactive way. And one of the changes we've made to this legislation versus an earlier version is we've decoupled the community investment piece from a project so that in the same way that we are proactively prepping sites, we can proactively prep areas like Metro Detroit on something like transit that Amazon has already told us that they would have needed to consider to get ready for the next one. So this is about being more proactive to prepare for better projects in the pipeline so that we're not scrambling last minute to catch up on what other states have been doing for decades.
Senator, the minority leader, Matt Hall, has said we need accountability measures to be applied to SOAR recipients.
He's absolutely right. And that's something that we worked into this version of the legislation, the last version of the legislation. There were a number of ideas that we had in earlier versions of the legislation, including increased clawbacks, transparency measures, like having legislators serve on the Michigan Strategic Fund, which is the board that needs to approve these projects. And we are now looking at applying those transparency measures to all economic development tools, not just capturing them in SOAR, the largest tool.
You know, one of the things, Bridge Michigan did a really nice piece of journalism showing that the SOAR fund and other funds like it, that the jobs that have been created over the life of that fund, 40% of them were below middle class wages. So of the $250 million, or the chunk that goes directly to those projects that are time sensitive, how do we do a better job making sure we're getting the jobs that we actually want?
That's something that we have been pushing the MEDC and the Michigan Strategic Fund, is we have to be more thoughtful about the projects that we're going after. It cannot just be the scattershot approach of let's bring every project into Michigan, because you're right, a number of these projects pay below the median wage for that region. And if we're spending taxpayer dollars on bringing those jobs to the state, my view, and yeah, I don't think it's an unpopular
aim
one,
high,
is that we shouldn't be incentivizing low-paying jobs. That's exactly right. So we're going to keep pushing, but knowing that companies are really looking to skilled talent and workforce, I think making these investments in upskilling folks, giving people the skills that they need, will make it so that we have to spend less on incentives in the long run.
Senator, given the partisan divide on economic development strategies in Michigan, what do you believe is necessary to foster some bipartisan cooperation to ensure that this legislation is effective and addresses the state's economy?
So I've had really, really good conversations with my colleagues on the other side of the aisle. Roger Victory is my vice chair, my Republican vice chair on the committee. And when you saw these votes come out of committee initially, they were bipartisan. This is unfortunately a really partisan moment in our state. The state house is at a 54-54 tie. So I don't fault the minority leader for kind of keeping his caucus together on this. But moving forward, I've got a great conversation with probably six or seven of the Republicans in the Senate. I know there's a lot more in the House who want to figure out, okay, this is step one, which is how do we reform the tools that we have. Step two is let's build out a 10-year long-term economic development strategy so that we're not having this whiplash every time Michigan has a new administration, which happens relatively frequently.
Well, didn't the Whitmer administration already do that with its Grow Michigan? I mean, the big thing we've been doing over the past year, looking at population growth.
Exactly. What we want to do in my strategy is take the results of the Population Council as the starting point. That council told us where we need to go, what we need to do. So now we have to build out a plan that says, okay, how do we get there? What are the tools that we need to hit the goals that that council laid out?
So what's next, given that the governor said she wants more dialogue and isn't 100% on board on this strategy?
So I reached out to the governor. I am looking forward to hearing back. I'm talking to members of the House as well. Something that's important to remember is the SOAR tool has a sunset on it in only a few years. So this is a stopgap to make sure we can get most of our members on board and comfortable with this while we give ourselves time to figure out what that long-term strategy is.
All right. Guy?
Yeah, but just very quickly, we talk a lot about growing our own talent here, and that's very important, but there's a certain delay to that as well. How do we import more talent, and do we need foreign specialized talent, which I know is problematic for some people, but that's what other countries have done.
I think the answer is both. So something in the Growing Michigan Together Council that they did is they spent hundreds of hours going around the state and interviewing particularly young people, because the key to a strong economy is having younger college-educated workers who want to stay in the state so that when our workers retire, we have new folks coming into the workforce to take their place. And right now, Michigan is unfortunately an inverted period. We have a pyramid. We have more older residents than we do younger residents. So, you know, I know I've talked about transit a lot. I know a lot of people say, I love my car. I don't necessarily want transit, but younger people do. And we are seeing young people move to states where they don't need to own a car. And then Michigan has always had a long history of immigrants, particularly in areas like Troy, in Metro Detroit here, who work in the medical field, work in the automotive industry, hold engineering degrees. And the answer is both, and has to continue being both.
Computer and tech, for sure, because these are not auto companies anymore. They're tech companies.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mallory McMurrow, a Democrat from Royal Oak and state senator in Michigan's 8th District. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate a working mother always.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Thanks for your patience. Noah said hi loudly.
Hi, Noah.
Hello.
Okay, coming up, this is a really special idea. Caregivers who look after loved ones living with dementia can experience a day devoted to their own enjoyment. We'll talk about it next at 7:49.